Welcome back into The Whistle. I'm Jackson James, and this is The Whistle on All Jacked Up Sports. Wherever you found us, whether it was from a TikTok, YouTube, Short, Instagram, Reel, make sure to follow wherever you get your podcast to stay in tune with everything All Jacked Up Sports and The Whistle. Anyways, let's hop into it. There's a lot going on this week. We got March Madness and NFL Free Agency. And I kind of wanted to do NFL Free Agency first just because March Madness is kind of a week, month-long thing. And I don't want to kind of gloss over NFL Free Agency. And there's been a lot of moves, so I kind of wanted to give you guys my instant reactions. I got all of the moves pulled up here. Some of the major ones I am going to go over. Let's start with a kind of not an NFL Free Agency move, but one that happened before. And I did cover this in a couple of TikToks, but I wanted to give you guys my full in-depth review of the Bears trading their number one overall pick to the Panthers. In return, DJ Moore, 2 first and 2 second round picks. I think this is a great trade potentially for both teams. And what I mean by for both teams, it's the Bears surround Justin Fields with an elite weapon or a soon-to-be elite weapon because DJ Moore has been battling with inconsistent QB play for pretty much his entire career, so you can't necessarily blame him on his lack of stats possibly. But then the Bears also get draft capital, which you should get with draft trading the number one overall pick. Will they be competitive next year? Time will tell. If Justin Fields really is that guy, he is going to make that jump. And I'm really excited to see this Bears offense, especially with Darnell Mooney and DJ Moore. Darnell Mooney is not a wide receiver one, and we saw that happen last year with the offensive struggles. Justin Fields clearly has the legs, but now if he can trust his wide receiver, hopefully Cole Kmet has another good year. We should see this Bears team greatly improve, and they've made some moves in the offseason already in terms of free agency. They gave Nate Davis, guard, a 3-year deal, and he played 54 games at right guard for the Titans, so they're building up that O-line. They have a lot of money to spend, so I'm not surprised. But probably the Bears' biggest move besides trading for DJ Moore, they signed linebacker Tremaine Edmonds to a 4-year, $72 million deal that includes $50 million guaranteed. He was the linebacker, obviously, on the Bills, and they are just getting better. The Bears are a sleeper team. They've made some great, great, great moves this offseason, and I wonder if they're done. And if they have a great draft, especially with that 9th pick, if they trade that somewhat up, if they decide to trade up, I don't know why they would, but if they were to trade up and snag a guy like Will Anderson, if he falls, doubt that. But if you get teams that are desperate for quarterbacks early that trade up, some of those elite defenders could easily fall, and the Bears could get very, very lucky with a guy that they could have drafted at that number one spot, now drafting him, maybe if they trade up to 7, or if they stay at 9. Apparently the Bears are targeting Mike McGlinchey from the 49ers as he becomes a free agent. I think that's another great move for the Bears. Continue to build that up O-line. Just surround Justin Fields because, look, if he's not your guy, you are going to waste. You're wasting the next 5 years. And if I'm a Bears fan, I'm fine with that. You kind of wasted the prime of your team with Mitchell Trubisky, believing that he was the guy. And I think at least Fields has shown that stardom, that it factor, that Mitch Trubisky never really showed. And the last Bears move I'll talk for this episode, they signed TJ Edwards, linebacker from the Philadelphia Eagles. And this is actually a pretty low-key move by them, continuing building up that defensive, status, if you want to call it. And if you think about it, they traded Roquan Smith to the Ravens in terms of for a second-round pick. And then they signed these two guys for free agency for only $4 million more than they would have signed Roquan Smith for. Think about that for a second. That was an excellent move, I think. Now, Roquan Smith is still great. I'm not saying he's not. But if you look at the Bears where they're at right now, they don't need to be signing a guy $20 million on their defense when their team will be lucky enough to get 7 wins next year. Now, if you look forward in the future, well, maybe having a guy like Roquan would have helped a lot, but I'd much rather take depth in the NFL on the defensive side of ball than an almost elite player. There's only a few guys in the defensive side of the ball in the NFL that I would take over a pair of players or even three. And that's a very short list. I think if you look at it, maybe a Nick Bosa, Micah Parsons for sure. And maybe that's it. I would have to go more in depth in looking at that list. But let's transition to the other side of that number one overall pick. We have the Carolina Panthers. I've already addressed this. There's three main components for the Panthers to select with their number one overall pick if they stay there. There's been some rumors. I don't know if they're real or fake, whether or not they are going to stay with that pick. But I think it's either between C.J. Stroud or Anthony Richardson. And I'm really interested to see where this team goes. Apparently, reportedly, Frank Wright is hugely favoring Anthony Richardson. So that should be a very interesting selection if that happens. I would say that as a shock and maybe a bad move. You have C.J. Stroud right there who's more pro-ready, but maybe they're taking the risk, which I kind of like. But giving up that much draft capital for a risk? I don't know about that. They haven't made too much of a splash in free agency as I'm looking here at the recap. They did re-sign their punter, Sam Martin, and they re-signed their linebacker, Tyler Matkovich, to both are the punter to a 3-year deal and their linebacker to a 1-year deal. Now we got some restructuring of deals as we move away from that draft trade. The Browns made $36 million in cap space by restructuring Deshaun Watson's deal. Before restructuring Watson's deal, the Browns were roughly $14 million over the cap, and now the Cleveland has cap space heading into free agency negotiating window. So it should be interesting what moves they make with that money. Ravens running back Gus Edwards takes a pay cut, about $1 million. So that should be interesting to see what they do with that extra money if they sign Lamar Jackson. That's a whole debacle. Really interested to see. And if you want my thoughts on that, maybe I make a quick TikTok because I don't want to waste too much of your time on this podcast as I quickly go over my quick thoughts on all of this. But the kind of movement towards the NFL, be like, what's this, is like an inside coup? I don't think it is. And you're like, what do you mean Daniel Jones got paid this much money? First off, I think the Giants are stupid for making that move. Stupid, because you sign a guy to that much money and he's at most the third best quarterback in your conference. That's not a good thing. He's not close to Jalen Hurts and he is not close to Dak Prescott. The gap is pretty big, and now he's making the same amount of money as Dak Prescott. So the Cowboys were smart enough to sign Dak to that deal, if you want us to call it that. But Daniel Jones, I don't think is worth that $40 million a year. No way. I think they're in a tough spot right now because they had such a great year with Brian Daboll in his first year that they're like, wait, can we keep this up? Can we build on this? And I think they probably should have blown it up. Daniel Jones is not the guy. Maybe use him. Maybe trade Saquon to get a higher pick and maybe snag one of those top three guys, being Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, or C.J. Stroud. Or maybe even Will Levis, who is on the bottom of my tier of quarterbacks. He's maybe my fourth guy just due to his lack of success in his senior year. I think at the quarterback position, success is my main key. And obviously it's like, well, it's a team game. Yeah, but if your offense can put up points, you know, that means you have at least a good quarterback on the side, unless they're like a great running team, which Kentucky was not. But as I look continually on this, ESPN, thank you for helping me with all this. I really appreciate it. But let's go into the big deal of Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Apparently, someone on Twitter said this is done. This is a done deal, just waiting on Aaron Rodgers. I don't know about that. It's either the Jets or the Packers for him officially, with Jimmy Garoppolo going to the Raiders, which I'll cover here after this. But I think the Jets getting Aaron Rodgers definitely puts them in the discussion for being that second team in the AFC East. The Bills are slowly falling, which is kind of sad because you thought they would be a dynasty with Josh Allen getting to that AFC Championship game 3 years ago and then only losing to the Chiefs on that wild game 2 years ago. But I think that the Jets need to get Aaron Rodgers. If they don't, they're going to be easily the third team, and Miami's going to lock up that one. I guess, alpha dog scenario in the AFC East. Now, the Jets, I want to give up too much. If you have to give up a first for Aaron Rodgers, I don't see that being a thing because Aaron Rodgers, if he agrees to it, that means he's done with Green Bay, right? Now, if you can get a first as a Packer, right? If you can get a first from the Jets, holy crap, that's amazing. I would say if you can get a second round pick, that'd be amazing. Now, probably the compensation is going to be that first round pick, but still, I'm still interested to see where the Jets go with this overall deal. As we can continue down, let's go into the Jimmy G trade, or I guess signing with the Raiders. I wouldn't say this is much of a shock, right? You saw Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders, Tom Brady to the Raiders. I really thought Tom Brady was going to happen to the Raiders. I really did think so. I was like, this is picking up steam, especially if Tom Brady doesn't retire, but he did retire. So where did the Raiders go? With Tom Brady's pretty much career backup besides Drew Bledsoe. So I like this move. I think Jimmy G is an underrated quarterback, but he's still a B-tier quarterback. Quarterback that is a good game manager. Jimmy G, you know, is proven to be a winner. And if you're Josh McDaniels, this is a good move. They didn't sign him to too much. As I click on this deal, 3 years, $67.5 million, including $34 million guaranteed. And so they got history with each other, right? Going back to New England. So again, I don't see this as much of a shocker. I see this as a good move for both. Jimmy G obviously lucks out with another stacked offense as he had in San Francisco. And look, you may razz on Jimmy G, but he at least got his team. He didn't get his team to the NFC Championship, but he wasn't the reason why they didn't get there. So you got to give him some props. I think the Raiders still have a long ways to go on the defensive side of the ball to really be a contender for a Super Bowl. They can make the playoffs, but a contender, that's the real issue with this team, because you don't want to be stuck as a playoff team. You want to be stuck, or I guess you want to be in that contenders tier or not in that tier at all. The Raiders weren't done with only signing Jimmy G. They agreed to a deal with Eagles safety Marcus Epps. So the Eagles are losing some players, as we foretold. They had a lot of players entering free agency. Should be interesting to see how that NFC East is divided up in terms of win shares for that division, because we haven't had a back-to-back winner in that division since 2003. That's how crazy that division has been and inconsistent it's been. And I think that's a large part to the Cowboys and mainly the Cowboys, because the Commanders aren't winning that thing this year, next year, or the year after that. They're not. I can put my money down for that. The Giants might. The Giants have a potential, especially if the Cowboys suffer enough injuries. Same thing with the Eagles, right? But I don't see anything happening between those two teams. I think it's the Cowboys or the Eagles division next year for sure. As we look, the Commanders did agree to a deal with Cody Barton to a one-year deal. So obviously it's just right now, if we're talking NFC East, it's just kind of saying there's no big major moves happening as of right now. The Eagles re-sign tackle Brett Toth. So no numbers there yet. But the Dallas Cowboys have restructured the contract of Michael Gallup, creating roughly $7 million in cap space. With an $11 million base to his salary, this was always the design of the five-year contract he signed last year. So, obviously, Gallup had a down year with the Cowboys. Obviously, as a Cowboys fan, maybe a little homer, they need him to step up this year. There's no excuse for him not, especially with CeeDee Lamb going into, he was drafted in 2020. He's got a couple years. He's got 2 years left on his deal, but he could always hold out his final year because that's kind of the motive of NFL players now, whether you like it or not. So, the Washington Commanders claimed cornerback Cam Dalzer off waivers from Minnesota. He was a 2020 third round pick. Again, it's just little moves happening right now. I covered all of the major moves as of right now, except the Steelers have signed former Pro Bowl corner Patrick Peterson to a 2-year deal. So he moves from Minnesota to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a very interesting team. I'll cover more of it as I do an overlook of the offseason changes or going into the season on how I think the teams did in the offseason and kind of where their season's going to head or going to go. And as I look, Broncos sign Jared Stidham from the Raiders. Actually, that's kind of shocking. I guess they're all in on Jimmy G. The Broncos just get a backup for Russell Wilson. I don't like that. I don't hate that. I don't hate that move by the Broncos. The Bills brought in right guard Colvin McGovern from the Cowboys on a 3-year deal, $23 million deal. Again, just little movements. That's a good deal for the Bills, but he was also not the guy in Dallas that Dallas needed. Should be interesting to see what the Dallas does with their O-line. They got young pieces, but they also got old pieces. So that's why I'm not a GM, because I don't know what I would do. Maybe I'll do a Cowboys video since, again, I am a Cowboys homer. But everyone, if you don't like the Cowboys, you hate them. So I understand. Mike White heads to Miami on a 2-year, $16 million deal. So, interesting. Tua Tagovailoa had his 5th-year option picked up by the Dolphins. So I think he's got 2 years left on his deal now. And again, it's just a lot of little moves right now. Maybe one of the bigger moves, the 49ers agreed to terms with D-tackle Javon Hargraves on a 4-year, $84 million deal. Wowzers. At $40 million guaranteed. That is wild. That is a wild, wild, wild contract. And that front seven as absolutely stacked with, along with Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa. And they had, I'm blanking on the guy they had on their team, but whoosh, whew, snap. That is wild. Gosh. He had 16 quarterback hits, 10 tackles for a loss, and a pair of fumble recoveries. How many sacks? 11 career sacks. So he gets that 4-year deal with the 49ers. Again, the Eagles getting worse. Love to see it, but it's unfortunate for the NFC champions. Some irrelevant teams not making moves. Jason Kelce says he will return to the team this season for his 13th season. And then will the Broncos trade one of their receivers, those being Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, or KJ Hamler? The question still is in the air. Oh, this is a big one. The Ravens released 6-time Pro Bowl defensive end Calais Campbell. Interesting. And that made it possible to get Lamar Jackson's franchise tag salary cap hit under the cap. So very interesting. And as I'm looking here, no big major moves. Mostly teams fixing up their O-lines, re-signing their guys. Austin Eckler is seeking permission for a trade. I thought the Chargers were a great spot for him, but he's entering his final season at a 4-year deal, $24.5 million, and is scheduled to earn $6.25. So he wants that contract extension for sure, and he's kind of earned it. He is one of those top echelon running backs, but again, is paying a running back the strategy in the NFL. Who knows? Or everybody knows it's not a good idea. You saw that with the Cowboys. You might see that with the 49ers this season. That's why the Giants did not sign Saquon to a big deal. They franchise tagged him, which I think is a good move. But again, I think they're better off trading Saquon, getting some picks, and building up their O-line for Daniel Jones, even though they've already been building up their O-line over the past several years. Apparently, the Texans tried to pursue Jimmy Garoppolo, but they were unsuccessful. So very interesting. Defensive end Cam Jordan and the Saints rework his deal to save $10 million against the cap. So again, just little movements. Falcons trade for Juwan Smith from the New England Patriots for a 7th-round pick. Probably was going to be a cap casualty. When you see a 7th-round pick trade for a player, that's probably a cap casualty. And some teams are like, oh, we might as well take him. We can fit him under our cap. And as I'm looking here, no big major moves. So what is the overall saying here for this offseason? There's no big major players, right? You had Lamar. He's going to stay a Raven. I would be very shocked if he's moved. You got other quarterback, or you got most big name free agents getting franchise tagged, like Tony Pollard was a big one. OBJ, where does he go? Is the Cowboys the front runner? You got all those rumors last year. Very interesting, very interesting. I know Kareem Hunt was a free agent. I wonder where he is and where he's going to sign. He might be out of the league. You see that with running back, backup running backs all the time, just being moved place to place to place to place to place. So, again, not major moves here, but you see each team. I'll leave this link in the description below, wherever you find it. You can go to ESPN and you just look up NFL Free Agency Tracker. Or live updates 2023. So again, this is my thoughts on the free agency, a quick little podcast that I'll turn into some clips, and hopefully you guys enjoy. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. If you're on YouTube, please subscribe. If you are seeing this on whatever site, leave a like, because I want to know who's watching on what sites and what's more popular. Is it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, stuff like that. So anyways, I'll see you guys in the next one, which should be my March Madness bracket making. So anyways, see you guys in the next one.